Lunch and Go Workspace. This is Darren.
Hey, Darren, this is Joe Pesci.
The Joe Pesci?
What, did I stutter there, tough guy? Of course, it's Joe Pesci.
Hold on 1 second. John. Hey, come here. Joe Pesci's on the phone.
Getting out of town.
Yeah. Joe freaking Pesci's on the phone, guys. Okay. I'm calling in.
Right. Wow.
Don't piss me off.
What can we do for you?
Well, I'm a fan of the show. You know, I've been listening.
All right. Great.
And, you know, some people are saying things about this podcast.
Good people?
You know, people.
Don't ask them that. I mean, people.
What kind of things are they saying?
You know, things.
Are they?
Listen. Don't flatter yourself there, pal, okay? I got a question. I know you guys are going to be answering these questions about taxes coming up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a CPA coming on the show.
Yeah, well, I got a big question. I need you guys to answer it, okay?
Okay,
Darren, have you ever found, you know, like maybe a little bag of money in the trunk of your car?
No, I haven't. I found a dollar on the sidewalk. But
let's just say I've got an acquaintance.
Okay.
That maybe found a little bit of, maybe a lot of cash in the trunk of their car.
Huh.
So here's the question. Can you, you know, maybe massage that into your legitimate business a little bit?
Uh-huh.
And, you know, maybe kind of, you know, reduce your tax burden down to zero.
John,
Mr. Pesci, I mean, that's something we could run by the CPA and...
I think that's a smart move, because Darren, answer me a question there, pal. Isn't Launch and Go on the second floor?
Yes, it is.
You know, I'd hate to see you fall down those stairs.
Okay. Well, so, it is raining outside.
Listen, the bosses want to know. So I want you to, you know, ask the question.
I think we'll definitely ask the question.
That's a smart move, Mr. Winnie.
Yeah.
Welcome to Beer and Business. You found the best podcast for entrepreneurs. We serve crafty business knowledge, comedy, and yes, beer. And now it's time for our hosts. If he were to pat you on the back, you'd list it on your resume. It's Jake Mullins. And his beer never gets warm. It just sits there, staying frosty, waiting for him. Mr. John Winnie. And if you spell his name in Scrabble, you automatically win. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Darren Flanagan.
Folks, welcome back to Beer and Business. Today is Friday, January 24th. This is Jake.
This is John.
And this is Darren.
And today, wow, it is tax season. I'm almost sick in my belly already. We are talking about the five biggest mistakes that businesses make on their taxes. And we have got Justin Euland on the show. I'm very excited to talk. Did I say your last name
you
right?
You did, yeah.
So Justin Euland. I'm very excited to talk to Justin. And we've never practiced that. So I actually really got it right, guys.
Wow.
He's a CPA. And we're going to talk about some of the most common mistakes made by businesses. So that's going to save you some money. Probably not going to save Mr. Pesci any money. But before we get down to business, boys, we're drinking a double IPA today.
Oh, yes. My goodness.
So we finally got our hands on Time Served.
Woohoo. Jailhouse Brewing Time Served.
It's good stuff.
This is a 8.5%er, and I've got a meeting.
It's a good session.
Better tread lightly.
Tropical fruit, resin, and smooth.
Yeah, this is really, really, really good. Is this your first time drinking Jailhouse?
It is. Yeah, I've not had it before, so I appreciate you guys getting the IPA for me too upon request.
So, what do you think?
Yeah, it's great. Really like it.
Mm.
Yeah, I'll probably really have good. To, avoid.
We might need to take naps after this before we go into our next, because we're recording, just so everybody knows, we're recording midday, so we may need a little nap before we finish out our work days.
Mm. Yeah, well, it is almost 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It's not
it's 1 o'clock somewhere. So we're talking taxes today, and I think this is such a critical topic, boys. I wanted to start just by getting everybody's attention. So I've read a couple of studies getting ready for this, and you know, you see a lot of different stuff depending on the year, depending on who did the study. But I have seen a few that kind of, you know, they basically estimate the overpayment of taxes by small business between like $6,000 and $12,000.
Wow.
And that's a big number when you consider what the average small business makes, because it's probably not as much as you think. There's a lot of businesses that try to claim losses. So this is a really big deal. And in those same studies, about a third of those businesses, which seems to be a pretty common number, feel like they are overpaying in taxes.
I would think that'd be closer to 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Well, I mean, overpaying in terms of their obligation. Now, if you're getting it right, you still probably feel like you're overpaying, but that's another topic. Yeah. That's another show.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, Mr. Winnie, you want to pay more taxes and you have to?
No, I'm good.
And I'm pretty sure most of our audience doesn't want to either. Nope. So, yes. So, Justin, we are really glad to have you on the show. And I just want to let you guys know, full disclaimer, okay? We are not your lawyers. We are not your accountants. So we're going to talk about some stuff today, but you should seek the advice of a professional. Your business may be different than what we talk about kind of in a general sense. Mm-hmm. Just want to make sure we throw that out there so we make our attorney happy.
Right. Just do it.
But I think we're fine because Justin has actually memorized all 70,000 pages of the tax code.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
He's
a savant.
He's a baller. How long did it take you to memorize all 70,000 pages?
It took a while. Yeah. They change it so every year. So they got to start again. So, yeah.
There's like this whole myth on the internet. It's not really known how many pages the tax code is, but it's like estimated somewhere between like 60 and 75,000. Have you heard this or is there like a real number?
No, I mean, I don't know a real number. I'm not sure.
Trump has his own section.
I tried to think about it too much.
Yeah, I mean, it's whatever it is, if it's 60 or 70,000, it's a lot of freaking pages. And you don't, I mean, like you as our listener, you don't have to sift through all this crap. It's crazy. No. So you need somebody talented like Justin. In fact, guys, just to give you some credentials on Justin before we get into this, Justin is so good. He's actually kept Darren out of jail. Have you ever kept anybody else out of jail other than Darren?
Yeah, I mean, the only one. It's not my. I usually try to go a little bit above that when my clients like needs and stuff. But
better clients than me. Yeah. Is that what you mean?
No, I'm saying it's a low bar to cross.
No, what I mean is I usually try to that's not my claim to fame. Is I keep people out of jail. You know, I usually try to do a little better than that. But
when you're selling somebody like Darren, I mean, that's probably your key selling point.
Yeah, but whatever he does in his personal life, though, that's different. So only from a tax standpoint, I keep him out of jail. Anything else is off limits.
So you are Darren, CPA, Justin.
That is correct. Yeah.
Yeah. So we're going to be picking
not Joe
Darren
Pesci's.
Quite a bit.
You don't have any mafia accounts or anything.
I do not.
No. Nobody in the family.
Good.
Not that he's allowed to disclose.
Right.
It's all confidential.
So we actually did an episode. It was at the end of 2018. John and I did an episode talking about some of the absurd rules in the tax code. Remember that where you could deduct the cost of your pet snake when you travel.
Right,
like
there was a helicopter thing that you guys talked about too. Like you could deduct a helicopter you weren't able to deduct something else.
It was a hang glider. It's like some of the craziest stuff we found that, I mean, do they ever take anything out or do they just keep adding to it?
Oh no, they take stuff out and revise it as they go, but it seems like it just gets added mostly.
It's crazy stuff. Yeah. Well, I think this is going to be a great conversation, Justin. I'm looking forward to it. We structured this conversation. So the goal today is we want to make sure that everybody is aware of some of the biggest mistakes that are made in small business taxes, because that will help them avoid those same mistakes and ultimately save money or potentially keep them out of trouble.
You're going to be playing a Britney Spears song in the background? Oops, I did it again. No, okay, anyway.
So Justin, I want to get right into it. So I want to get into your list. So the first mistake that you see businesses make is what?
Yeah, the first one is probably, and also I think one of the most important from a starting standpoint, and it's the thing I ask right away whenever I meet a new client or a potential client. And that's usually like, well, what type of entity are you? And, there's a lot of choices out there. And I think that's the biggest one that I see people just don't know sometimes, which is kind of scary, but they actually don't know what kind of entity they are.
Human? Is that it?
Yeah, you're close. Like an LLC, an S-Corp.
Right? We're talking legal structure.
Yes,
okay. Legal structure. Like poltergeist type entity.
Right. Yeah.
Not salient being, like what kind of salient being are you?
No, business structure. Yeah,
okay, I gotcha. Yeah.
I think that's always a starting point. And I figured I would be good to go through those and just start at the most basic one.
Yeah, we've talked through legal structure before, but let's talk about them from the perspective of tax. So what are the legal structures?
Yeah, so the most basic one is I'll use as an example. It's like a real estate agent who gets a 1099 from their broker at the end of the year. Mm-hmm. they are considered, you know, and they report that income on Schedule C, which is small, you know, it's basically small businesses where you report that right on their 1040. There's no separate legal entity. It's just in their name, but they're still considered a business for tax purposes.
So in that example, they are self-employed.
That's correct. Yeah.
So they're a contractor.
Yep. Yeah. And that's, okay. And it's, you know, more and more I see people are being kind of deemed as contractors because it's a lot of times it's better for the employer if they can get away with doing that because they avoid them paying payroll taxes.
Sure.
Just, and then now as a 1099 employee, should most 1099 employees form?
They're not employees.
Well, okay. A 1099 contract worker, should they form an entity, a business entity for tax purposes? Does it benefit them more usually?
Or? Yeah, I mean, it depends.
Because I've heard that they should, like, oh yeah, you should just be an LLC or whatever. And that way you'll be able to have some better tax breaks versus just being a 1099.
Yeah, well, you know, to go into that is, you know, the single member LLC, which is like the most basic form of LLC. It's just what it sounds like. It's one owner. You could use that same example. And then, you know, the person calls themselves, you know, John Smith LLC, you know, real estate, whatever it is. And so with that, you know, only thing that's really happening there is the default for that is basically it's reported the same way as if the other example I just used.
Okay.
And so that's the default. You can make some other choices as you go down the road, but that's the default. And so really all that really does is if he's worried about legal reasons and that's what a legal thing, but it's not a tax situation at all.
So get the same liability. Either way.
Yeah. So somebody that's a contractor or single member LLC from a tax perspective, they can get some of the same treatment.
Yeah, it's exactly the same.
Okay.
It, as a default. Now they can choose later on to get into some of these other choices. Like I'll talk about more.
Sure.
But that's the default, you know, most basic part. And honestly, you know, my advice to people, depending on the situation, if somebody's starting a company that they're immediately going to have employees and they're opening up a shop and, you know, yeah, they're going to want to have a better structure than that. But from the same standpoint, I see people overcomplicate things very quickly when they don't need to. Well, I mean, we all think that. I think I rarely see a person come in and say, I don't think I'm gonna make too much money. They always think they're gonna make a lot of money, which is not always the reality right away. And so maybe they jump right into an S corp or things like that, and it's really not necessary yet. And then, so now they got a lot of extra compliance they gotta do. So they gotta pay me more money because there's an extra return and they gotta pay payroll. You know, there's all these things that you have to do as you get into that, and they just don't need it yet. You know, so they don't need that much complication that quickly.
That's why they should seek out an expert to help them structure the business correctly.
Well, let's start here before we get too far down the rabbit hole on what's best. So let's talk about the structures. You've got, you know, kind of your contractor / sole proprietor, right? You've got, we talked about single member LLC. Mm-hmm. You've got, a partnership LLC.
Yeah, which is basically like it's when you have
limited partnership
more than one member in LLC, it's pretty much automatically defaults to a partnership. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is then its own separate entity that files its own tax return, which then flows through to the individual's tax return too.
So I've heard this referred to as many different things.
He's at least read 100 pages of the tax code if he can go that far.
He's read more than I have. I've read a big fat zero. I've heard it referred to as multi-member LLC, limited partnership, LLC partnership. Like they're all the same thing, right?
There's a lot of different
ways.
Little initials there that end up feeling very same from a tax standpoint.
But essentially what it is it's an LLC that's split among members, different owners.
That's correct. Yeah.
And so, they can be in varying ownership, right? Like one person can own 10%, one person
can own 90%. That's a pro of the partnership is that they're very flexible. You can have one owner put in, you know, all the money, one put in some, you know, put in their time, you know, and they can kind of take out money in disproportionate ways too. And so it's very flexible from that standpoint. You see that a lot in real estate investing because you might have somebody doing that exact same situation where one's got the money, one's putting the time in, and they can pretty much whatever that operating agreement that partnership says is how they want to split up the money. The IRS is pretty much okay with that.
How come I don't see a box on my tax return for checking off sweat equity?
Hold on, let's get back on task here because I want to make sure we're going to lose people. So you've got sole proprietorship, you got LLC, partnership LLC. The difference between those, when you go from the sole proprietorship to the limited liability corporations, is liability now shifts to the company. So if it gets sued, the company gets sued, not the individual. So
correct.
You lose your house.
Yes. Okay?
We'll get into the tax differences. The other type is corporation.
Mm-hmm.
And then in corporation, you've got like C corporation, you've got S corporation.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
So what are the differences in structure between those two?
So the C corp is like your old school, I'd say, kind of company. I see very few of them. They're, you know, sometimes the bigger companies.
Usually reserved for larger companies.
Yep. Yeah. Because, you know, a lot of companies that were even C corps years and years ago have now elected to become S corps, which you can do as well, because it's just, there's some, they offer the same legal protection basically. And then they're a lot more flexible, you know, because it's between the shareholders and the shareholders, the way it's kind of the way it works. And you avoid the double taxation. Is the main reason why people are going away from the C corps, even though the rates came down in 2018.
Now, what does that mean, double taxation?
So, as a C corporation pays tax at the entity level. So, when they file a tax return, that corporation's paying tax. Then, above that, when the shareholders, the owners, want to take money out of it, it's in the form of dividends, and then they're paying tax on that money too. So, that's what's called double taxation. Whereas an S corp, the corporation itself pays no tax. What happens is whatever money comes in, income, expenses, let's say there's 50 grand left over as net income, that flows through to then, on a form, it's called a K-1, flows through to the individual's personal tax return. And that is where the tax is then recognized. And so that allows for a lot more planning, because it's not about what the big company is doing. It's about, well, what about all the individual owners? What do they need? What are their... what's best for them, and we can plan for that better for them.
Got it.
Yeah.
Now, is the difference with an S corp, at what point is it based on income or based on number of employees that you would go from an LLC to an S corp?
No, it's not really employees. I mean, if you have employees already, that's one thing that goes into it, because one of the negatives of an S corp is that as an owner of that, I'll talk about the positive. The reason why you do S corps a lot is because you do have to pay yourself some wages as the owner. That's a requirement, because of the second reason, which is because the leftover money, again, I'll use that example again, is about $50,000 left over. That $50,000 is not subject to self-employment tax, which is 15.3%. So you're talking, that's like a $7,500 savings. And when you're using your figure, you were talking about earlier, the $6,000 to $12,000. Well, that's $7,500 right there. That's nothing to shy away from. And that's just basically by having a different structure in place.
Right.
Yeah. Hmm. And so that's the benefit of having that. Now,
Social Security savings too, right?
That's what the self-employment tax is basically.
Oh, okay. I got you. Yeah.
It encompasses basically the employer and the individuals, kind of comes into that.
Gotcha.
Yeah. If you were just a strict employee, you know, you see it on a W-2.
John's just over there going, oh, I'm so happy.
I'm thinking, W-2, you know, if you're having trouble sleeping at night, just get a copy of the tax code.
Yeah.
And read a little bit before bed.
I got news for you.
Thank God
kids
for people like Justin, man.
Afterwards.
I mean,
it keeps me up at night when I start thinking
we are just at the structure level. Like,
right. We're not even scratching the surface.
This is the complicated part, really.
Wait till your kids come up to you and say, hey, I listened to that episode, and guess what? You know, I'm cutting the grass out front. I'm a 1099 now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, that's fine, because you can pay him, like, if they're a contractor, you can pay them and they have to pay their full Social Security tax double down.
But at least they're putting in early, you know?
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
So when it comes to structure, okay, so we've kind of gone through it at a high level. You need to understand what structure makes sense for you. And I think what I'm taking away from this is you need to have really serious discussions with your CPA and your lawyers to ensure that you are organized correctly. Because, you know, for me, you were talking about real estate agents. Well, I got a real estate company and we're an S corporation, but we did that for some very specific tax reasons.
Yeah.
But I did that in partnership with my CPA and my attorney.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's because
everybody's going to be different, right?
Yeah, because you can get yourself in trouble too. Because that's what I was saying. If you're an S corp and you elect to do that, oh, it sounds great. I get to avoid self-employment tax. Well, the IRS just doesn't want you to avoid self-employment tax. They're okay with it working in the structure of the way it's set up, as long as you take reasonable compensation.
Right.
And that's the whole key.
Which I've been told many times.
Yes. And the reasonable compensation usually you know, there's no formula for that though. And so that's where there is a little bit of a gray area. So
especially like in your first couple of years too, right?
Yeah, because it's tough. I mean, how do you know how much to pay yourself? I'm worried about paying the bills right now. And so there's a little bit of leeway there. I think, again, it just goes back to that word reasonable. And, you know, you're making an effort is what I kind of usually tell clients. I mean, they don't want you, you don't want to show a loss as the company because you took too much pay, because then it defeats the purpose. You know?
Right.
And that's the thing, is that goes back to, you just got to keep that communication and seeing what's going to work. And
well, and the thing that, so like for us, what we, the reason why we did that is because, you know, we plan to reinvest a lot in the first couple of years. And so we didn't want to get taxed on, you know, income if we were just going to be reinvesting that at a company level, maybe keeping some cash in the business and not taking it out. So it made sense for us. At least that's what my
I'm trying to figure out. Well,
does it sound right? I mean, or should I fire my accountant?
Well, I don't know. I don't get a contract. So you're going to pay. It's an interesting thing.
It's a good accountant over here. He's using discretion right now. Yeah. And that is key. He'll talk to you off the record.
No, I want to know now.
So I'll just use another example as a better do it and to not say anything wrong with anything that's been done.
Just remember the IRS is listening.
Right.
There's black helicopters hovering over us as we speak.
The other good thing is, you know what? Well, I'm starting a new category this year for the business. I'm going to have an R&D area. So I'm going to reinvest into R&D for the place. I don't know how we're going to write that off, but just
relaxing
like,
and drinking.
You want, it's called.
Sorry. Wait a minute.
That's research and development.
Do we get lab coats? I want a fluffy lab coat. So
yeah, you need one because you
my naps.
Spill half the beer you pour anyway.
Usually,
Jesus, man.
That's part of the R&D.
How can we get Jake to pour a beer without spilling it on the table?
There you go.
Beer pouring
Lord,
classes
have mercy on
for
me.
Jake.
See what I have to deal with?
Yeah, it's tough.
A couple of knuckleheads here.
Your example, though, I mean, what you're talking about is a good, I mean, it kind of leads into one of the things that's a misconception I think that I hear. And it may have just been maybe communication that got mixed up there. But so basically, let's go back to that example. The company had $50,000 of net income after it paid all, you know, after all its bills. That $50,000 is taxable to you no matter what you do with the money. So whether or not you take the money out or just leave it in the bank, it's taxable no matter what. And sometimes people think that of, oh, if I don't touch the money, it's not taxable. I've heard that even from schedule, you know, from sole proprietors. Oh, well, I left that bank account money there.
No, I totally get that. I meant from like the Social Security, the personal tax that you talked about. Yeah.
The
self-employment tax.
Self-employment tax, yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
Which I would save that if I'm not taking that money out.
I understand what you're saying.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
you're saying
because if I'm
leaving some income in the company,
right?
I got what you're saying. That's very good.
Now I've heard you say you've used the dollar amount.
I'm not an accountant, obviously.
Yeah.
No, I've heard
thanks, Mr. Winnie.
I've heard that other situation a lot before. So
Kelly balances the checkbooks at home, huh?
Yeah, one in this hand, one in that one.
There you go. I ran out of checks, so I must be out of money. I'll go to this one instead.
Okay, so
but the $50,000, you've said that a couple times. Like is that a minimum amount to be an S corp, or is that
there's no minimum.
And, okay.
Okay. And that's the thing is that, and I see people do it too quick. Like I said, it's more like because there is some added costs that go with it, and so basically, you got to be able to be paying yourself some money and have money left over. So there's a point where you've gotten some success in the business and, you know, it's more consistent. Mm-hmm. And that's what makes more sense. And that's what, but again, you know, going back to the whole single member LLC thing, starting off as a Schedule C, you can do that. And then as the business progresses, we just elect to be treated as an S corp. And that's not very complicated at all. And then you can kind of do that as you need it, not too soon. That's, I guess, my point with that.
Now, okay, so we kind of teed this up as the five biggest mistakes that businesses make. I'm assuming that the reason why this is a mistake is a lot of people will come to you after the year is done and haven't thought about this. And it's like there's only so much – you can't go back and change.
Yeah, no, it's – no. I mean, there is a late – for this example, there's a thing where you can do a late S election, but again, the IRS does not like that. They want you to follow that before March 15th of the year that you're actually wanting to do it. So if you're wanting to do it in 2020, you need to make that election before March 15th. Because if not, you
can
just wait and say, oh, this looks better for me this year. I'll do this now. Well, you know, again, they're not going to
reply. Can you flip back and forth each year too?
You cannot flip back and forth each year. You can change back. I believe it's a 5 year after 5 years.
Okay.
And there's mm-hmm. and it's also important to know, like, there's additional things you have to do if you're a corporation, like mm-hmm. an S corp. You got to do additional filings, and you know, there's more governance
exactly
that has to be recorded, that sort of thing, right?
Yeah, that's why going back to your income thing is, you know, there's got to be your income's got to be such that it makes sense to do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're not going to do it if you're saving, you're going to save $10,000 in self-employment tax. I mean, you know, total, that sounds great. But if you're only going to save, you know, $1,000, well, you got to file an extra return and do payroll and things like that. Well, maybe it's not so advantageous.
Justin's going to charge you more than that.
Yeah. I mean, your fees from your attorney and your CPA might more. Exceed that $1,000. So, yeah.
Now, just to give you the basic simple, a DBA is nothing, has nothing to do with any of these structures.
No.
So there's no tax benefit. And for those that don't know what a DBA is, it's doing business as. But I just want to make sure that some people aren't out there talking, you know, when they're listening to this podcast.
Going,
what about my DBA?
Ass.
What about my DBA?
No.
Darren being an
ass. It goes without saying.
We got a lot of good acronyms today, don't we? R&D.
Mm-hmm. You've given DBA. Me some great ideas. Software, I mean, I'm thinking about starting a nonprofit R&D company. You know? Where I can just write off all the beer that I buy.
I want to test the safety of all these beers.
Yeah.
It's for the greater public good.
I have 2 8.5 pointers here, and let's see which one.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm gonna I don't get think my, this one's good
get
for
on
kids.
My motorcycle and drive the dirt bike in the back 40. Jeez.
I think I'm on to something.
So,
are you hiring?
Are we moving on?
You can 1099 me. I'll be a contractor. I don't care.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Justin, do my taxes.
No, I'll get you a name of a good CPA in town, not me, though.
He doesn't want to be associated with that tax return.
Hanging out with Joe Pesci. And
okay, so I think we've kind of talked about this one, but it's really important. Understand the right structure. Talk to your accountant. Talk to your attorney. Those are the two stakeholders that really need to be involved in that decision.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's the second big mistake you see made?
So the second one is probably what people want to really listen to is one that's like missed actual deductions.
Oh my God.
Oh boy.
Yeah. I don't ever want that to happen.
Yeah.
No. And you know, it's funny because one thing that I see, I see two things when people come in. Normally you get people want to take every expense of their entire life as a business expense. And I see that. And, you know, and I have a real high value for doing things, you know, ethically.
That's not
the
okay.
right way.
Ethically.
And it's not okay.
Shit.
Yeah. And so,
do you guys think the IRS is really listening?
And so that's a high value for me. But what I also see is the exact extreme opposite where people are afraid to take legitimate Certainly. Deductions. I hear the thing, well, I don't want to throw up any red flags. Right. I hear that all the time. And I don't really understand if it's a legitimate business expense that you've made. There's nothing to be concerned.
They're scared because they've heard stories like, oh my gosh, I did this. The IRS came in and they did an audit and then I didn't provide everything. And then they went back 3 years and then I didn't have everything there. Then they went back 7 years and, you know, or then they put a lien against my house. So I'm sure when they don't want to have those red flags. I mean, they're scared shitless.
Yeah, I think that's what does happen. And you do have to have documentation. That's why I also use the word legitimate business expense. Okay. It's got to be.
Justin's like, how many Brandon receipts are you going to submit, Darren?
So, so you say it needs to be a legitimate business expense.
Yeah.
So what are some of the, like, you know, you deal with this all the time. What are some of those gray areas where people might think that it's not and it is, or vice versa? People might think that it is and it's not.
Brandon's package store.
Yeah, I think the ones, I mean, number one, my first thing I always say is if you're in question and you feel like this expense had to do with running my business and it produced income or tried to produce mm-hmm. income, record it down and let me decide at the end of the year, number one. You know, number two is it's probably a good business expense, you know, 99% of the time. If it's trying to produce income, that's usually the ultimate factor. You can usually tell what you're doing, whether or not it's personal or business a lot of times. And there are gray areas. I think the ones that I hear people are afraid of the most is the auto expense and mm-hmm. then the home office deduction. Those are the two.
Auto expense.
Yeah. Mileage. Mileage.
People are afraid to log mileage.
Yeah.
What the hell's wrong with
you?
Yeah,
but you only get. Yeah, but with mileage, it's a lot of times it's not when you start from your house. It's when you get to where you're going and then back. Or did that change? Is that correct? Or does it, like, if you're trying to deduct mileage,
yeah,
and I leave, like if I'm going to a business appointment and I leave from home, I was told that you can't deduct the mileage driving to your business meeting, but you can record it on the way back.
No, you can. That's the whole thing.
How are they going to know?
You can't take mileage that you're just going to and from work each day. That's what you can't take because just like, oh, I'm going to the office. You know, well, that doesn't count. That's just your commuting. That's not considered it. But everything else that you're going to, appointments, people come see me to meet me. Well, that's they're meeting. They're about their taxes.
You're writing off their mileage.
No,
I'd be more worried about getting
triple dipping, guys,
taking some potential clients out to a dinner and spending $1,000 on alcohol.
Yeah, but they only
trying to write that off.
Certain expenses. Or
I'd be more worried about that than mileage.
Vacation.
Will it produce business?
Maybe.
I mean, I would tell you, like, as an employee, I used to take, I used to go to $10,000 dinners, like taking big groups of executives
Japanese.
Out. Yeah. And it was a business expense because a lot of times we'd close a big deal as a result of that relationship. Yeah.
And so it was deemed reasonable in that circumstance.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what, it kind of comes back
crazy.
To.
But DM is probably pulling. But what was the second part? You said mileage and...
Well, and that's, the mileage and then the home office deduction.
Home office. But that's based on a percentage, the square footage of the house and a percentage.
Yeah,
and you get to write that off. Even
it is.
Internet.
Well, there's two ways to do it. That's what... There's a standard deduction, which basically you take, the square footage of the office and you multiply it by $5 up to 300 square feet. So it's just a pretty decent size. I mean,
that's a huge room, man.
Yeah.
300 square feet. That's like a 10 by 30 room.
Well, a lot of people want to take, those square footages out here.
Freaking office, do you need?
I've got my corner office in the bay window.
I'm not going there and measuring their house. So, there's some point, I'm not the auditor here. So I just take the word for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there's that way. And then there's the other.
Yeah, and the other way is where you take it as a percentage of the total house. So if it's 200 square feet, the whole house is 2,000. 10% of all those house expenses are deductible.
All the expenses. So the electrical, the power, the gas, the internet, all that, 10% of that.
Yep. Kegerator, everything. Yeah.
Whatever it takes.
If it helps you close deals. That's again, if it's reasonable...
For whatever reason, he's writing off the square footage.
That's very suggestive.
Jake writes off the square footage. Beer and business, guys.
John's refrigerator, too. He's like, let me measure this. I want extra square footage.
I've had some stuff for this podcast where I've like run it past my CPA. Like, are you sure? Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Okay. It's reasonable. That's a really good threshold to gauge with yourself. Will this reasonably, impact the business?
Right.
That's what I always tell people because I use this example. So my dad, he was a real estate agent too for many years. Mm-hmm. I would, I started doing his taxes, several years, maybe 8-9 years ago. And I would look and, he'd show me his income 1099. He'd say, oh, I don't have any expenses.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so I had my real estate license for years too. So I know that there are expenses involved.
Sure.
Just to keep your licenses. And, so every year I had to convince him and actually pull expenses out of him. So that happens quite often where people are just afraid to take any kind of expense because they're just like, well, let me just not mess around. I don't want to get in trouble. Well, there's nothing wrong.
Well, I recently did a trip, and took my family. One of the things that we did, because, my wife and our business partners, is we did a strategy session for the year.
Yeah.
And my accountant's like, well, that's a business expense. You need to let the business pay for that.
Yeah.
If you're going to get away from your day to day and you guys are going to, step back in an environment where you can think strategically, where you normally can't because you're worried about, day to day transactional stuff, then that's legitimate. And I sat there and thought about it, and it's actually very reasonable.
John, did you realize I created our entire sessions every time you go
every night in my garage, I'm strategizing. So
you need to be an LLC.
Right.
I mean, Winnie's Garage LLC.
I'm thinking his R&D company is going to get off the ground.
I do that. I mean, when I travel.
But it was very reasonable because the threshold that I gave myself was, is that reality? And it absolutely was because we built a whole operating plan for the year. Because we were away from all the crap. We weren't getting the phone calls. We weren't, doing the stuff day to day. We were away. We were out of town. And we knocked it all out. So it's like, what?
That's how much of your bar tab did you try to write off on that?
100%.
I don't know that I want to disclose that on the show.
You should be penalized just because you happen to, because your wife's your business partner. Because if you happen to go with another partner, you wouldn't even consider it. You'd be like, of course.
Yeah, you wouldn't even hesitate.
Yeah, but it's completely legitimate when you guys are.
Those are some of the interesting conversations that I've had with my CPA. Yeah. And I think it's important for those that are self-employed or maybe partners with their spouse. Like you may find that there are things where you're like, that's a business expense? Like, yeah, if you think about it, if you kind of step back and you know, ask yourself that question, will it help the business? Is it reasonable?
Yeah.
Well, here's a reasonable question. So I...
From Darren?
From me. Went out to Colorado this summer.
Let's
and while
on.
I was out there, oh, I actually...
Wait a minute. Hold on. There's going to be marijuana involved. Please continue, Darren.
Let's keep personal questions.
We did not... Yeah, I did not write that off.
Justin, have you checked all the receipts?
So, but I travel out to Colorado. We're out there on vacation. I stop in and I see a couple co-working offices because I want to see what they're doing and... met a business partner there. Then I go out with somebody else from another company that I work for and have a business meeting with them and hang out. But can I write off any part of my like plane ticket? Because even though it's a vacation, but I did business, I can't write off my plane ticket.
Now I would say that, I mean, obviously you're the one that has to say this, but it's, you know, if that, what was the purpose of that trip? If
right.
Your purpose of the purpose trip was you're going on vacation with your family and you just happen to do a little bit of stuff there. Well, maybe whatever that portion was of that day that if you went and did some travel, whatever that might be. Yeah, that would be. But the actual trip itself, I mean,
okay.
It doesn't seem like
so
that's.
So after I met with those people at the for a business lunch and they slipped something to me and then, you know, I had to pay a bail bondsman. Does that, can I write off the bail bond? For, no,
No comment.
And that's how he keeps
again.
Wow. No,
can I write
no.
it off again? I mean, that's anyway, what really
yeah, the first time, is, but not the second.
Jesus. Holy crap.
But as you said, just whoever your CPA is, submit as much as you can and let them go through and decipher and decide what is legitimate business expenses and what's not. As yeah. Instead of trying to pull it out of them like you had to do with your father.
Yeah, and also okay. just the fact that, and it kind of goes into my, this goes into my third point, but just the you know, I see a lack of communication with your CPA. That's a big mistake because, I mean, that's a question you could ask before you go on the trip. Well, hey, you know, is this,
yeah.
you know, you have an understanding of like, or even, hey, you know, how can I make this a business trip? You know, there's things you can do like, they can, okay. like,
sure.
Like
and saying, you know, yeah, important. we absolutely have those conversations, you know, yeah. proactively, like
exactly.
I ask, proactive, what yeah. do you think if yes. we do this, or if I have any question whatsoever, you know, I ask, hey, you know, what are your thoughts? And, you know, she's very professional, just like you, Justin. And she understands. And I've been surprised by some of the things that were,
yeah, exactly.
you know, deductible and things that were not
yeah.
that I thought may have been. Before we move off of that, though, I do have a question. So I do a lot of like meals and entertainment for people in the industry, clients, you know. Do you need to save every receipt?
Yeah, you do need yes. a receipt.
And every single one.
Every mm-hmm. single receipt. Yep. Yeah, and usually it's not a bad idea to kind of write down on the back of that receipt or something of like, hey, what was this for?
What happens if you lose one? Let's say Darren lost one.
Well, shocking.
Again, that's,
no.
That's only an issue if
you get audited,
if
right?
you get audited down
Here's
the road.
Here's the question.
Which is very, you know, okay. let's be clear. It's very unlikely that you're going to be audited.
Right.
Oh, no, it's like, not.
Thank you.
Like, it's not.
It's a low percentage, very
okay.
low percentage.
Well, here, so here's but, the question, because QuickBooks and some other, and there's other apps out there that are like, hey, snap, and with QuickBooks, it's like, snap your receipts and we save them. And then, but it scares the heck out of me that, and then, but they always say, you can throw them away afterwards. You don't have to save them. It's like,
oh, it's fine. They're in the cloud.
As
There's
long
no
as
hackers
keep, As
out
long
there.
As you keep paying their monthly fee forever, then you don't have to worry about it. That's the idea.
Oh, great.
How many years should you have that kind of stuff?
You know, for receipts that are just like regular receipts, you know, probably just 2 to 3 years is fine. If
regular if it, receipts,
well, like things versus, like that, you're talking about like meals. Okay. Now, when I say receipt, okay. Now, if you're like you sell a piece of property, you're probably gonna want to keep that for many.
Oh
years
no, 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 that's
that could
yeah,
no, no, no.
It.
So just but, like business.
Yeah, you know, exactly. sometimes
yeah. everyday expenses.
So
for
let
the
me
business.
Fall on the sword here. I'll be the first one to admit there are times when I'll take somebody out that's an influencer in the community or. You know, somebody that could flip me business and I take them out to a $20 lunch and, you know, the receipt kind of goes missing. Whoops.
Dumbass.
It happens. Okay.
So you pull out the little notepad and you write it.
But no, I mean, I
just eat it up. I mean, just
but seriously,
it.
I mean,
forget about
like,
it then.
If I get audited, is the IRS going to be like, oh, well, here's a $20 lunch that you've lost the receipt.
Yeah, what if it's on your credit card?
They're going to look and see. Well, and that would be
are they going to look for trends and patterns? Well, or are they going to say, oh, you're missing one? You're going to pay tax on this lunch.
How many times did Jake go to the massage parlor this month?
Dude, seriously.
Oh,
we're supposed to
professional massages.
We're supposed to be like watching out for each other here.
It's physical therapy, Darren.
See, John's looking out for you. Thank you, John. That's teamwork is dream work. There we go.
RD&M.
Yeah, I mean, I would go back to that whole, you know, reasonableness thing is that, you know, look, you've got almost, you've got 95% of your receipts. You maybe lost one or two here or there. You know, are they going to come down so hard on you at that point then? Maybe they just allow that $6 or $20, but I mean, that's not going to be a huge issue.
Have you ever been audited, Darren?
Yes.
I have too. When I had my business, my first business, I got audited in like 1999. And we were at the point where we were like, you know, we were probably $4 million, $5 million in revenue at the time and like all kinds of stuff going on. And we had a deep tissue audit. Like, it's just like one of those things where I got a call one day. Hey, this is your friendly, you know, IRS, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, oh, shit, I'm getting audited. And we got a big, big audit. And it was, I mean, this was a long time ago, 1999.
A deep tissue
audit? Oh, yeah.
It was a deep tissue massage, audit. Darren.
Oh, yeah. It was
deep tissue audit.
I thought it would be more like a colonoscopy.
They were looking into, not only were they looking into like just what's in our general ledger, but they were like looking into, you know, our reporting and making sure that stuff matched. It was, I was really surprised how deep they went. We had a lot of stuff like that where it was little things. It's like, oh shit, we can't find it. We ended up no penalties, no issues. Yeah. Wow. There was,
you were lucky.
Were we? I mean, I don't know if we were lucky, if you didn't have any penalties,
to me, I think you were lucky.
I think like maybe
if as a whole, they could see that you were, you know, doing things the right way. I think it was
like maybe 10% of what they were looking. And it was all like the small stuff, like all the big stuff we had. Yeah. But it was like, you know, the small stuff, you know, we'd have a hard time finding or, you know, it wasn't legible or whatever. And I guess kind of at the end of it, they didn't sweat the small stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they could see that you probably were, they were doing the right things for the most part and everything. You know, again, I think that's what.
And they also, I think the one thing that they were really focused on was that we weren't, when the stuff that they were able to, you know, validate, they could see that there was no funny business. Like we weren't trying to make things business expenses.
We weren't trying to hide stuff.
We weren't trying to cheat. All this. We were trying to use every deduction that was available for us.
Right.
Because I don't want to pay any more taxes than I need to. Like, I'll take every freaking one of them. But we weren't doing anything illegal.
Yeah, exactly.
Now I have a serious question for you.
That wasn't serious?
Not at all. So what I've heard is if you're not a good CPA, then you can work for the IRS. Don't answer that. That was a joke, people. That was a joke.
That was Darren's serious question.
Okay. No. Launch and go workspace.
Yes. If you're going to audit him.
Tree City, Georgia.
Maybe.
His EIN number is. Yeah. let me help the IRS. I'll save you the trouble.
Just go get your freaking checkbook, dude, because you're going to be writing one after this.
And all right. My CPA is not Justin.
He's going to deny. Okay, so
number four.
So we kind of introduced number three. So we started with not understanding your legal structure, missing tax deductions, and then you said there's lack of communication with your CPA, which I think is huge.
Yeah.
So that's your number three.
Every time you're in public and you run into your CPA, buy him a beer.
Which is pretty much always at Lion Creek Brewery. It's happened many a times. Yeah.
I didn't have to. I wasn't saying that, but I'm just. It happened.
I might need to switch CPAs. I'm just saying.
but then I get to write it off.
Oh yeah,
business expense. I mean, because I was with my CPA.
Mm-hmm. And funny how he always finds it reasonable when you're buying him a beer. The other people he might question you, but it's totally reasonable. Yeah. I'm your CPA.
Yeah, Darren's good.
How many times a year should you communicate with your CPA though?
Well, I mean that depends. Again on like the. On the size of your business, you don't need. I mean, again, if you're a real estate agent and things are going the same this year as they did last year, I mean, really, there's not much to really say other than maybe some planning towards the end of the year.
For those that are listening that aren't, you know, small business owners, entrepreneurs, or whatever, they're W-2 employees.
Yep.
How often should they contact their CPA?
I mean, I would say as they have a major need.
Yeah, I mean, anytime there's going to be a change. Like my CPA got mad at me one time a few years ago. I went to work.
Only once?
Yeah, really. Because my taxes, they're pretty simple. But one time I did some contracting work where I was technically self-employed.
Yeah.
And I just went ahead and did it. And I started. And then at the end of the year, I was like, oh, by the way, I've been doing this. And he's like, what? He was so mad at me. Because after that, he came out with these, he structured all these quarterly payments and stuff like that.
That's number four. Number four coming up. Is that what that is?
Yeah. Well, he was mad. And then I ended up not doing it anymore because with all the extra taxes you have to pay,
yeah,
it wasn't worth it.
Mr. Winnie, have you met Mr. Yulin? He will be your new CPA.
But just going back to communicating with your CPA. And I didn't. And
wouldn't think about it, though. I mean, you're like, hey, get some work. I got paid.
Right.
And we'll deal with it at the end of the year.
It was a good amount of money, but I didn't know about the, double tax.
Did you know about the rebel on this?
Yeah.
Now, here's here's a quick tweener, okay?
A tweener?
Because a couple of us have already finished our first, so we're drinking rebel now. They've heard us talk about this before. A couple weeks ago, Justin, we had one can of this.
Okay.
One.
We almost fought.
John and I
fought.
Well, John and I drank. John was judicious in the amount that he poured for he and I and for Jake.
No, he wasn't. Jake was so slow. Jackass. Jake got gave me like two droplets.
This much. So, anyway,
jerk.
Another great beer from Jim.
Yeah, those really, guys. Really good.
But how often? I mean,
yes. Yeah, so, I mean, it depends. I mean, especially this first the first couple of years. I mean, you might have like a lot of growth going on, a lot of change. Mm-hmm. I'd say as those changes, that's a good time to, have a conversation. It doesn't take long. It's a CPA. I'm not H&R Block not to put anybody down.
Thank goodness.
I'm here year round. I'm doing this year round. Like I'm here for you year round. Like it doesn't bother me to get a call mid year and talk. It's a lot better to do it ahead of time and be proactive versus trying to fix this at the end of the year. And then I'm the bad guy because they owe a bunch of tax.
I think, we probably need to give people like some signs to recognize if they're communicating
when
enough or too much. And so if your CPA is not taking your call anymore, you're freaking calling them too much, right? if when you do call your CPA, they say, what the f-? You're probably not communicating enough.
Exactly.
And so probably somewhere in between.
It's not April 10th. Yeah, what's going on? Why are you calling me?
Holy. April 10th. No.
But I need
to file right now.
Yeah. I mean, I just ask. Like, I've been really kind of open. Like, hey, if I have questions about this and ask, can I call you? Or when should I call you? Like, I think just really kind of getting their guidance. Tell me if I'm coming to you too much or if I'm not coming to you enough. And I think most good CPAs will kind of tell you, right?
That yeah, that's what I'm saying. Communication is along the whole way. I mean, I don't think I ever get upset at somebody calling me. I mean, I think, sometimes you get people who call quite a bit, and that's just that's just part of it. They just need that little bit extra support. And, most times they're willing to, pay for your time. So it's not like a major concern for me. I mean, with Darren, I do his quarterly accounting, started doing that. And so there's really, obviously he might have some questions, but really I'm the one posing questions because Justin, I can see everything there.
He communicates more often with me than I do with him.
What the hell is this, dude?
But the nice thing is
exactly. That's what he said.
There's no surprises. I mean, I can see what's going on year round. And so at mid-year, we might say, oh, well, it looks like things really picked up this year or whatever the situation might be. And we can then actually have some time to plan. Too often people wait till the end of the year. At the end of the year, there's not much you can really do. There may be some retirement savings you can do still past, 12/31. But besides that, like, there's not much I can help you with. And that's kind of what I want to do. I don't want to just be a compliance, like, filling out the forms for you. I want to be able to actually add value and actually save tax. And that's on a personal.
So can I say, too, I think this is really important for y'all listening. This is a two-way street, right? So I had a CPA once, and I had some business. This was a little while ago, but I had some business ventures, and I had a thought about something, and so I reached out to my CPA, and I'm like, hey, if we did these couple of things, would that save, money on taxes? And she comes back, she's like, oh yeah, I'd like save like $10,000, and I'm like, why the hell didn't you suggest that to me? Because I sent everything over, and so then I realized like, she's just doing what I'm asking her to do.
Yeah.
Like she's not being proactive. So I think, you as the client, you need to be asking those questions, being proactive with your CPA. But then you also should expect, I think,
yeah, I agree,
in return that your CPA is proactive when they're looking at your stuff and they're like, I wonder if we could do something different. And they pick up the phone and call you and say, hey, could you try maybe XYZ?
Yeah.
You know, because I lived it and I fired that CPA immediately. I was done. Like, that was it for me.
Yeah. I've heard that same thing quite a few times where like people are saying, you know, hey, I feel like I'm the one posing these ideas to them. And then they just tell me whether or not they're good or not, you know, and a lot of times they are good ideas. Yeah. And
it's like, well, that'll save you money. Well, damn it.
So what are you doing for
me? What about last year? Yeah. Are you going to issue me a refund? Yeah. No, I'm not.
You know, and I try not to be, you know, I have a friend who is also a client and, you know, without hounding, you know, for too long, I was like, hey, I think this is a good idea for you to do this. And, you know, just kind of being proactive and saying, just keep kind of bringing the idea of like, hey, I think this might be good. It was the S-Corp situation. You know,
oh, yeah.
I think this is time. Like, it's time to do this now, you know, and so we need to kind of get on it. And, you know, and now we've done it and I think it's going to really work out really well for him.
Okay, so we've got, you know, the first three, we've got not understanding your legal structure, missing tax deductions, lack of communication. What's your fourth mistake that you see?
Yeah, that ties into what John was saying, the not making the estimated tax payments. Mm-hmm. And that's a very common, I will say,
quarterly.
Quarterly estimated tax payments. And you don't have to, you know, as you're growing and maybe there's not as much income, obviously that's not an issue, but when you get those kind of 1099s that are just extra income, and I hear a lot is, but I didn't make that much money. Well, when you're paying, you know, your normal tax rate plus 15.3% self-employment tax, it doesn't have to be a whole lot to then you're starting to get hit pretty hard. And yeah, there are penalties, but more than that, it's just at the end of the day, it's like all of a sudden you have to pay all this tax for the whole year come April 15th. Right. And it's just, you know, I mean, you know, I like to think everybody's saving money. I mean, I know it's not always the case for me, like where I can just all of a sudden shell out $4,000 or $5,000 because I didn't, you know, that money's probably already spent on a vacation or something, you know?
Right. Yeah.
So it's a very important, and that goes back to the communicating. It's like, you know, I get my clients quarterly estimated tax payments to make based on the prior year, basically. But then if you come to me and say, hey, I'm expecting a lot more income or things have downturned, we'll adjust them as we go during the year as well to keep you out of trouble because not only are you paying tax at that point, you're paying some penalties as well, which, you know, you're just basically giving more money to the IRS. Which you don't want to.
That makes me sick.
Don't recommend it.
So how many strategic planning sessions can you write off each year?
Many is reasonably needed for your business.
I'm just curious.
Did I just pass that test?
Yeah.
Your Honor. Man. You forgot to say Your Honor.
Oh, I did. Yes, Your Honor. Why do I feel like I'm going to end up saying that someday?
White collar prison isn't as bad as supposedly.
How did we go from potentially getting audited to prison? Oh, Darren. Darren, that's how we did it. Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. So quarterly payments are important.
Just do it.
And it does two things. Number one, it kind of relieves a shock at the end of the year when you're like, how big of a check do I need to write?
I'll tell you, we did this last year. All of a sudden, I get this thing from the county, I guess. And it was like, oh, crap, what is this? I didn't know about it for the business. And I called Justin. I'm like, I got this form. What do I do with it? What do I have to pay? And he's like, well, you just do this, that, and the other thing. And trust me, it doesn't match your federal tax returns. This is it's a county thing. So they screw it up with the dollar amounts and everything else. So it doesn't match, but he's like, just look on this section. And I had to modify a couple of things and, you know, wrote them. It was for property tax for all the stuff inside.
Tangible
tax inside, but communication.
Sure.
He was nice enough. He didn't even charge me for it. Well, he might have at the end of the year fluffed the bill, but
bill was already done. Now you're good.
Dude, but I
was
like, really? Come on, man.
You know, you get a form in the mail from any agency as a small business owner, and you almost shit yourself because you're like,
almost.
I don't know.
I'm not going to go
for me. I mean, getting a W-2 your whole life, all of a sudden you got this 1099. It's like.
What do I do?
Communicate with your accountant. But I was just, you know, you're not sure what to do at that point. And you're like, thank goodness I have somebody in my corner. I have a CPA in my corner to answer my questions for me. So,
And just to go into the, I don't know if we covered that, just to real quick, like for maybe people to understand the 1099, the difference is between a W-2 is the fact that when you're a 1099 contractor, your employer is not paying any payroll tax. Mm-hmm. And you are also not paying any payroll tax when you get paid. So when you get the check, it's like, oh, this is great. I got this check and you're getting the full amount. But yet, you know, if it was a W-2, you'd be getting much less of that. And you're probably paying some actual federal withholding as well in Georgia. So that's what we're talking about here, is that, you know, you've gotten paid and paid nothing in is basically the difference between that and a W-2, which keeps you out of trouble.
Good Lord, how does anybody make money?
It was an eye-opener, that's for sure.
Dude.
I'll let you know when it finally happens.
Yes.
I think...
I'm getting sick. Business. Like, I'm sitting here thinking about, like, I know mine's coming, and I didn't do quarterly last year.
I think every American should be required to do that. Like, if they had to write a check every quarter to the government.
Why do some people get money back that don't pay anything?
Oh, wait. Let's not go down that road.
No, that's for future. We're not going to answer that.
That's a political thing, I think, you're talking about.
Oh, is that what that is? Yeah. That's no bueno. Okay, so we've gone through your first four, not understanding legal tax structure, missing deductions, lack of communication, not making quarterly estimated payments. And the last one is what?
So the last one is more of, I guess, on a business side that I learned personally. And that's like, is not living on an island. And what I mean by that is when you're a self-employed
I want to live in an island. I want to retire someday.
Hey, Mom, what's wrong with that?
I hear living in an island and I'm like offshore bank accounts. What?
Don't do that either.
Can we do that?
We don't.
Is that cool?
Cyprus?
Justin was not your CPA for that. Go see somebody in Maryland.
So not living on an island.
I mean, I guess when I started my business, I worked from home, you know, which was great. I, you know, in my head, I'm like, oh, I'm saving so much money. I'm doing this. But I found myself, it was a pretty lonely being like kind of a small business owner in some ways. It kind of felt like I was by myself. And I think that was a big thing I learned, we talked about the tax code earlier. Well, there's no way I can obviously memorize the whole thing and know everything. And, you know, but I felt like I had to have all the answers because it was just me. I had to know everything. Anybody asked me anything, I had to have it. And I think it took me a while to realize like the fact that like, I don't know everything and I don't need to know everything. I just need to put people around me who do kind of make up for my blind spots in a way, you know?
Sure.
Like, you know, if you come to me and say, hey, you know, what can we do for tax savings? And I look at stuff and, you know, maybe we can do some retirement savings. Well, I don't have to have there's so many complicated formulas and things you can do, how much you can put away. I don't have to have all that stuff figured out. I just have to have like a trusted financial advisor that I can actually like work with and work with the clients. And that's the thing is just to kind of do that and just to surround yourself with people who are, you know, doing similar things, not even necessarily in the same, I don't need another CPA necessarily be my team. But I need.
But that doesn't hurt either, right? Like, like, you know, if Darren was, you know, collaborating with another co-working office owner and they bounce things off each other, like, there's nothing wrong with that.
No, like, and I think that was like a little bit of, you know, I guess immaturity starting as I kind of like, it's like, oh, everybody's competition, you know, and thinking that very same thing. And so I can't. So if they're another CPA, we can't talk. We can't really do anything. And that's just not true. You know?
No, there's no way either one of you can handle all the business.
He had a CPA pin him in his office a couple weeks ago.
Like start punching him and stuff?
No, blocked him at the, stood in his doorway. But it was good. It was a nice thing. They were actually having a conversation about taxes. Yawn.
Yeah.
But they were talking about that.
Yawn until you have to cut the friggin' check, dude.
It was two CPAs just...
There's things that that she offers that maybe I don't offer, and then I don't really want to do all those services. And so there's things that I can do that maybe she's not familiar with. And so that's kind of the idea is doing that. But then also, I mean, you know, other people around us who are business owners, you're a business owner. Like, I mean, there's things I can learn from you that I can apply to my business, even though we're not both in the same industry. And I think that was a big area. I think one of the big things that's been good for me is, you know, starting to come here and have an office at Launch and Go, like I do now. It's like I'm surrounded by other entrepreneurs, you know, for the most part, like all the time. You know, there's stuff going on out there all the time. It's like, you're just going to walk out the door. So that's been very good for me of kind of just getting out there and putting myself out there and not being just myself doing it and feeling like I got to have all the answers.
Yeah, there's a lot of power in just networking and being connected to the community. And it's amazing the things you can learn and how those things will actually tie back into the financials of your business. So, you know, that's really good.
And Justin doesn't have the pocket protector and slide rules either.
I was thinking that when he walked in, I was expecting a bunch of pens in his pocket, calculator sticking out.
Well, let me ask you, sure, what kind of calculator do you have?
Don't ask.
That's Excel. Excel does it all. Excel.
Damn, you're not one of those like old school guys.
You threw away like the packaging for Casio.
I mean, you have to have a calculator.
What about
like
the
TI at least instead of Casio? It's a $10 calculator on my desk right now. No, it's, yeah.
Damn, like one of those cheap solar powered pieces of.
Yeah, it's probably dead right now. Yeah,
it's probably he's got a Lexus in there though. Alexis, could you do me a favor? I need this and that for the tax code and calculate this.
Well, this has been really helpful. I hope that you've taken something away from, you know, the common mistakes that Justin sees. I mean, this is coming straight from a CPA, and we kind of went through all of them. So, you know, make sure you understand the right legal structure. You're not going to get it from this show because we don't have the answers. We don't know your business, right? You got to talk to your CPA and your attorney. You should understand the tax deductions that are available to you by communicating with your CPA, which was your third mistake. So
don't be afraid of them. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Just, I mean, put them on speed dial. Don't drive them nuts. But also, if you're starting out, like you talked about that person that gets in that rhythm, like my business is kind of similar to last year. Yeah, you probably don't need to talk to your CPA all that much. But when you're starting out, don't be afraid to call that person up and say, hey, what about X, Y, and Z? You know, you don't want to miss out on something because, you know, remember, we started this by saying businesses are probably losing out somewhere between $6,000 to $12,000 a year in overpaid taxes. Make your quarterly estimated tax payments as painful as
ouch.
Damn it. Yeah. And don't live on an island, right? So collaborate not only with
you're rich enough to buy your own island. And then live on an island is cool.
Unless it's Jeffrey Epstein's island.
It's your business island.
You don't want to end up having somebody kill yourself.
Right.
Don't go there. cut that out of there.
Yeah. No, I'm not cutting that out. It's
yep. Anyway.
So anyways, we really appreciate you coming to the show, Justin. We're actually going to do a questionable answer segment. That's the segment where we answer our audience's questions. We're going to do one coming up about tax. So people are going to submit their tax questions. So I wanted to know, are you willing to come back and help us answer some of those questions?
Yeah, that'd be great. And that's what, you know, doing something like this, it's very hard to get too much into detail.
Sure.
You're talking about it's a very high level. So yeah, ask those kind of more detailed questions and I can kind of get back to you.
So there
you
go, folks. He just wants the free beer.
I was going to ask him if he was going to.
It's a reasonable business expense, so it's okay.
If he was going to bring the beer. He's out. Do you want another one?
I would love one.
Oh, absolutely.
Give him a Rebel. My bad. Lord, let him.
I
know it's not. We skipped this one part, but thank you for offering to come back for questionable answers, and please submit your questionable answers.
Yes,
like Joe Pesci.
Questionable questions.
Well, if you're questionable Joe Pesci,
duffel bag. Just don't submit an answer.
No,
So if you do have questions,
you're wrong.
If you have questions about tax, send them to us at podcast@beer.business, or you can private message us on social, or you can call Darren because he loves your phone calls.
Why not? He loves phone calls.
Oh yeah, he does.
Everybody. Yeah.
One of these days we'll actually give him the phone number to Launch and Go so they can really call me, or you can look it up on the internet. Now, I would like to ask you one question that's not on here.
Uh-oh.
What is your proudest moment as a CPA?
Proudest moment as a CPA?
Because we ask everybody this.
Honestly, I think it was when I pretty much, that was quite
keeping Darren out of jail.
Do you know it takes, it is every hard year. To, it is.
More than one occasion.
Every year Darren's not in prison. It's a great moment.
Whew. But it is harder to pass the CPA exam than it is to pass the bar for the law. I mean, that's what I've heard.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the statistics of it, but I mean, it's not easy. It took
70,000 pages.
I will say that probably is at this point my proudest moment.
Go to the Googles.
I passed all four sections the first try, which is a real low percentage. I think it's between 8-10%.
Oh wow! All four sections on your first try.
Yeah, because I think the normal pass rate on each one is somewhere between maybe 50-55% who actually pass. So you string them all together, it's a little bit difficult.
Oh my gosh!
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Nice.
So that was good.
So we really appreciate you coming on. So if somebody is in need of a CPA and they'd like to reach out to you, Justin, how could they find you?
They can come to Launch and Go.
Look at that. Little plug for Launch and Go.
Or they can reach me at my website, which is www.peachtreecitycpa.com.
Peachtreecitycpa.com.
Yep.
Nice.
There you go.
We can even follow you on Instagram. You're out
you
there.
You got one of those Instagrams.
He's on the gram.
He's at the IG.
The gram.
I do. I honestly need to go on there more than I probably do.
What do you do? Like post pictures of calculators and stuff? look at this. I use the memory.
This one does sine, cosine.
Try to keep it more exciting.
Look at that. A negative integer.
It was. Ooh. Well, the other day, something popped up, and I'm like, Petrie City CPA. And I was like, who the hell is that? And I was like,
damn, that's boring.
That's right.
He's trying to keep me out of trouble.
Imagine that. That's awesome.
All right. So, Petrie City CPA, or you can just come to launch and go after you harass Darren on the phone. You can come in and see Justin. We'll also post some info on our social to you. We appreciate you coming in.
Yeah.
If you need a CPA, reach out to Justin. He's obviously talented. I mean, Darren's sitting here and he's not in the prison cell.
Yeah, exactly. And he passed all four sections on his first try.
Yeah, so he's way smarter than us. So thanks, man. And we look forward to having you back to answer your questions about business tax. So don't hesitate. If you
send them in.
And if you're worried about, you know, finding money or something, just tell us and we'll keep you anonymous.
If you find money in the trunk of a car, just drive the car
up into the parking lot and we'll figure out how to take care of the money.
Figure it out.
So, you know, speaking of Instagram, do you guys know we're on social?
From time to time, yes.
We are, yes. And, you know, we'd like to ask you to follow us. We have so many more of you that are listening to us, and I know you're listening to podcasts. And it's like, do I really want to follow you on social? Please. Like,
yeah,
just do it. We're on Facebook, Instagram, and the Twitter.
You're on Facebook and Twitter.
Oh, yeah. And we also want to remind you, if you know somebody or you yourself would like to be on the show, Darren, what should they do?
They should...
Other than slip some cash.
Go to the website and click the button, be on the show.
How much does that cost?
$3.
Yeah. So did you have to pay anything to be on the show, Justin?
I did not.
Oh, we didn't give him his invoice.
No, not yet.
Oh, yeah. We'll do that.
He's definitely going to write it off.
Come on.
He's going to add it to my bill.
It's a reasonable business expense.
That'll be an adjustment, Darren.
Oh, yeah. Whoopsie. No, it's free. And if you would like to be on the show, go to the website, beer.business. There's a section, be on the show, fill it out. It takes like 60 seconds. I mean, was it hard to be on the show?
No, I made it in my head much more difficult than it actually ended up being.
There you go.
I was freaking out.
I was a little nervous,
He was studying his notes like in a chair outside.
Well, he's smart, Darren. He's not like us.
Well, he came in, he goes, where's the green room? And I was like, what the are you talking about?
Green room.
Oh, we need a green room. Yeah, we do need one of those.
Well, this is a green room.
No.
But that's one way, you know, we got to put our guests somewhere special.
Yeah, we have like a buffet and stuff with drinks.
No, I just had to go to my office.
That was it. Just go to your office, sit still and be quiet.
No, the green room is pee before we start recording and we'll be in there, you know, 1 o'clock. That's kind of like it.
That's it.
Okay. So we are recording from the global headquarters of Beer and Business, which is, you know, Launch and Go Workspace.
It's amazing.
It's a reasonable business expense to be here and have, you know, global headquarters. And, you know, Justin, one of the things that's really cool about this is people can come in here and record their own podcast in this studio.
We have somebody new starting next week and then next month. Remember the folks last week? Mm-hmm. And they're like, man, we got to go back and we plan out all our episodes for next month.
I've lost count of how many podcasts we've launched in here.
It's amazing.
It's really
cool. It's amazing. You know why? Look at all that technology over there.
Yeah.
Lights are flashing. Knobs are turning. Is that amazing?
There's
Justin,
a CPU in there.
It's pretty amazing.
You know what that is?
That's
a central processing unit.
Ooh.
Yeah, wow.
It's like, I learned something too today. That's good.
There's one of those in a calculator.
Shut the hell up, man. So, yeah, if you're if you have a podcast, you're thinking about starting one, just go to launchandgoworkspace.com, call Darren, because as soon as he gets off the phone with Joe, he'll talk to you. Darren, you got any events coming up?
Well, here's a teaser.
Oh,
because we have had such a demand to do another liquid launch. Everybody went to number one.
Really?
Now they want number two. Don't answer that, John. But anyway.
Oh, come on, man. I'm not going there.
So
that's too slow of a pitch.
But currently, now, yes, we do have a few episodes or a few things going on here, events. So on Monday the 27th, Southside Support.
Yes.
Southside Support helps those families with special needs children. If you want to know more about it, come Monday evening to learn about their organization. It's a fantastic organization.
That's this Monday, right?
That is this Monday coming up. And then on the following night on Tuesday at 5:30 is Startup Fayette. So if you recently have started a business or are thinking about starting one.
Or you're freaking out about your first business tax bill.
Right.
Yeah.
Come to that.
Come to that. But we won't be really talking about tax bills. We'll be talking about PR, public relations, and the our professional speaker on PR. She has actually done work for Coca-Cola and AT&T and some other big name companies out there. And so she's going to be able to answer.
That's very timely after our cancel culture episode a couple weeks ago.
There we go. Yeah. There you are. And then just to tease it out, on February 5th, which is the first Wednesday of the month in the morning, is 1 Million Cups, where we have two companies who are going to present their companies.
That's right after my birthday.
Their ideas. Mm-hmm. When's your birthday, John?
February 1st.
No shit. Really?
I'm the 19th.
Oh, my son is the 19th.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. It's a good month.
Wow, you guys need a room?
No, I need a beer.
So anyway, those are the events at Launch and Go.
You got to tell. It's 1 million. It's 1 million cups, not 1 million steins. So don't freak out.
Yeah, I know.
What's going on with Overwatch? They got a tech tip for us today.
Yeah. So first of all, if you've got a computer in your business, you need Overwatch because you know what happens to computers, Mr. Winnie.
They get hacked.
Yeah. I mean, remember all the By adult Putin. Diapers that Chai got shipped comes. To your house? Because Putin, you know, hacked into your...
And we've had some recent say that right now.
Yeah, we have some recent cares. Experience with Chi-Coms.
We'll explain so, it off the air.
Yes, this is not good. You don't want to get hacked. It's bad. Sure. So you know what? If you have an antivirus program on your computer that sounds Russian... Don't say it, Justin, but you know what I'm talking about, right?
The one.
If
the
it one sounds Russian, it probably is Russian. Yes. Jesus. Thanks, guys. My God, where are you at? Do you want Russians like developing your antivirus?
I'm thinking not.
No. So what you want is you want Americans developing antivirus software and also people that actually look at all your data logs and all the nerdy stuff behind the scenes to see if there's something that maybe the antivirus software hasn't picked up yet. That's what Overwatch does. They keep you safe. So if you are concerned, you have computers, contact Overwatch today. Get your free assessment. They will, you know, put some stuff on your computer, tell you how effed up it is, and then give you a plan for the future. So all you need to do is go to overwatch.technology. No, they won't tell your computer's effed up. That's just me.
No.
They will actually tell you if you've got malware on there, viruses, whatever, and they'll give you a security plan going forward. You need to contact them today. Don't be vulnerable. Don't get hacked. Don't get subject to ransomware and have to pay Nigerians money or whatever. You don't want that. So go to www.overwatch.technology. And they've given us a tip this week, a tech tip.
Nice.
And this is important. It's about passwords.
So, at least three characters.
So, Mr. Winnie, how often do you change your email password? You've never changed it.
At least every decade.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Good for you. So if you're a business,
they're all fresh at least. That's
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. So if you have a business, what you need to do is you need to set up automatic password purges. You know what that means?
Oh God. I just have too many passwords.
I know we all do, but if you let them hang out there for too long, that increases the ability of you getting hacked. So you need to change your passwords on a regular basis, but we forget because we're human and we're doing stuff other than passwords.
My company doesn't forget.
Yeah, exactly. Because they set
automatic password purge.
Exactly.
Yes. Your small business can do the same thing. Annoying. No, it's not annoying. It's safe.
Annoying. All right. Yes. Safe.
They annoy you. That's they annoy you because it works.
Hey, John, you know what the number one password of 2019 was?
No, I don't.
Password?
It's right up top.
It was 123456.
I was going to say 1, 2.
Sounds like the password an idiot would have on their luggage.
Do you know what the number two password
what
of 2019
movie was that
was?
From?
Right.
Spaceballs. Come on, guys.
All right, so I need to change my password now. Thanks for broadcasting it out. But so anyway, everybody knows it's
quite on your phone.
So set up automatic password purges. And you know what? Overwatch actually has a really cool service called a password audit. And the way that they do this, I'm not going to get too nerdy, but they'll set up an encrypted file where that you can get all your passwords in this thing. Overwatch doesn't even see them, but they load it in and they actually tell you how safe or how vulnerable you are based on your current passwords. So they actually do this password audit for you. So you should reach out to Overwatch for that. It's really cool. Passwords are a big deal because a lot of times when there's a hack, there's infiltration, it's through password cracking.
You know, you don't want that. Here's the difference, though, between other password audit systems, which have like a million passwords that they check against. Mm-hmm. Overwatch has 500 billion passwords that they're checking against.
That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yes. So you want that.
Yeah, Justin got out his calculator just so.
And he's trying to figure out how much money you have to pay in taxes.
He needs a new calculator because it doesn't have that.
Is that deductible? If I pay for that service, is that deductible?
He's used to those kind
of
numbers.
Yes, because it's reasonable for my business. It's going to keep me safe. Thank you.
Suds.
Gee, many Christmas.
Are you ready?
Yes. So we're going to close out with some words of wisdom. So we talked today with Justin. I want you guys to step back and think about this. The tax code has 70,000 plus pages. Mm-hmm. So first of all, are you ever going to understand that as somebody that's not a tax professional? No. So I wanted to share with you this week, anytime you need to lean on a professional, in the case of finances, you need a CPA that understands this stuff, that works in it every day. How would you, Darren, as an individual, figure out whether or not Justin's competent in those 70 plus thousand pages of tax code? No freaking clue, right?
None whatsoever. I look him in the eye. We have a conversation.
Yeah, so you have a firm handshake. You know,
we play mumbly pegs.
You have to have trust, right?
Yes,
you have to have trust. Mm-hmm. You're never going to be able to interview this man to understand whether or not he's really good at his job. So you have to develop trust, and that comes through the relationship that you have. Mm-hmm. It can also come through networking in the community, getting referrals from other people you know. But you have to be able to lean on professionals, and you have to be able to trust them. So if you have somebody that you're leaning on, whether it's a CPA, an attorney, you know, pick the profession, whatever professional you need that you don't understand their business, marketing, whatever.
Brewing.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great one, Mr. Winnie.
No problem.
You need to be able to lean on somebody you can trust, like Jailhouse, right, and make good beer. So if you don't have trust in your professional, you need to figure out why, and you need to go find somebody that you have trust in. And also, don't be afraid to lean on people that you do trust to find out who they trust. Because I'll tell you, a lot of the professional relationships that I have that have really made a difference in my business come through somebody I trust. So lean in on your network, find out who they believe in, and by extension, you can believe in the same thing. So Justin, thanks for coming in.
Yeah,
get a great reputation. I mean, Jesus, you've kept this guy out of jail, so that's great.
Oh, yeah.
And we look forward to having you back on and answering our listeners, your questions about taxes. So please make sure you send those in to us. Mr. Winnie, you okay?
I'm great.
You've had how many IPAs? A lot?
One and a half.
Now you're
one and a half tall boys.
And now you're ready to go to the tag office because your birthday's coming up, right?
That's right.
If I'm going to go to the tag office, I'm going inebriated.
That's the way to do it.
I've never taken an Uber to the tag office, but
let's try it.
There's always a first.
Well, folks, thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you next week.